you need to rewrite your narrative around physical activity.
It's got to be a non-negotiable.
Still doesn't make you cool.
Okay, let's stop and say hello and sniff each other's butts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Health Happens Podcast. I'm Chris Pickerel. That is Mike Frosina, everyone.
Good to be here, Chris.
Were you trying to impersonate me there, Mike?
No, I'm just a little. I mean, you took my thing.
Yeah, that's
like really... I don't have a lot.
No,
Chris.
You don't.
I mean, so few pleasures in life. One of those things is introducing the podcast, so now I don't have that.
That's my goal, really, is to shake you down a little further each episode.
Mission accomplished.
Makes me feel better about me.
That's good. That's good. Makes you feel like a big man, Chris. Okay. Chris, what are we talking about today?
We are continuing with our theme of Phys Feb.
Phys Feb.
And we're going to talk about... I mean, it's in the title, obviously, you've already seen it, but how do I exercise without exercising?
Is that what I'm going to title it?
I don't know.
I haven't written the title yet.
But no, but that's the idea, right?
Exercise without exercising. I mean, yeah, generally, that's what we're going to be talking about today because, you know, people don't really like to go to the gym.
No.
They don't like to do exercise.
No.
How do you exercise? How do you do it without doing it?
Yeah. How do you stay thin when you hate the gym?
Well, not even stay thin. How do you stay fit? How do you
stay... I just wanted that to rhyme.
That actually did. That was good. Okay. But how do we keep in shape?
Yeah.
Without the pain.
Without the pain. Without... I mean, and you know, really what's fascinating is we already know the answer to this question, right?
Like, yeah, I think we do.
We do. This isn't a secret. Everyone knows the answer to this question. It's like eating vegetables.
Is it?
I remember... I was probably only about...
Where are you going with this?
Here's where I'm going with this. I was probably like 24 years old and I was driving and I was listening to the radio. Like the actual...
Yeah, I'm just going to sit back and listen to this
regular.
Story I'm interested to see where it's going to go and how you're going to tie it back in.
Well, it's not going much further than this. Radio announces, yeah, a new study published today says that eating vegetables is good for you. And it was sort of like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we already knew that. We're pretty sure we already know exercise is not just good for you. It is the only way to get fit.
Oh, that's not true. That can't be true.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today.
No way.
Now, obviously, there's a huge interest in believing that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because look how many billions of dollars are spent every year trying to believe that's not true.
I think we can game the system, Chris.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about tonight. Are there ways to game the system? Are there life hacks that help you?
Life hacks, hashtag life hacks.
Oh, I bet that's a popular hashtag.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag exercise hacks. I bet that's a thing.
For sure it is.
Cool. We should have looked that up and doing our research.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of hashtagging, do we?
No. I don't think either of us goes to Twitter or Instagram to do our research.
You can't hashtag on Instagram, can you?
Of course you can. Probably. I don't know. I don't
you
use
don't know. You don't know.
I'm trying to sound hip.
You're not. Everyone, anyone who listens knows that is not true.
I think, well, you know what? I'm going to take a stance and say it is true. So one of us is cool and in the know. Let's find out which one it is.
I'm going to go as far as to say neither of us is cool.
Okay, well, that may be the case, but one of us is correct about hashtags on Instagram.
And only time will tell, Michael.
Yeah, well, we'll probably find out after the break.
Okay.
But in the meantime...
Yeah, in the meantime, let's talk about something like relevant to what we're talking about today.
Yeah. So we're talking about, I guess, generally speaking, why people don't like exercise, what to do about it, and are there any like genuine alternatives to it?
Yeah, we're going
to
look at a few of them as well. But Mike, let's get this out there. Why, in your opinion, let's go with your personal professional... Mostly personal. Why don't people exercise?
Personal opinion, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It's time consuming. It's not fun. You feel, I mean, it can be fun, but I mean, it's painful. You hurt afterwards. It's exhausting. It takes a lot out of you. I mean, there's so many things that are easier to do than
right
exercising.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made two good points in there. Most of the points were useless, but two of them were good. And one of them was, it's not fun. And
but it can be fun.
Well, and this is, I think this is really important in where our discussion will go tonight, is it can be fun, and finding ways to make it fun really is how you make it part of your regular routine. The second thing you said was, what was the last thing you said? Oh, there's so many easier things to do.
Yeah, things you'd rather be doing than exercising.
Yeah.
Obviously. And
I think that's really important.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to say something profound there.
No, that sounded like a half of a sentence.
No. Well, maybe it is, but I was waiting for a little back and forth there. I think it's really important because part of overcoming, I'm going to use a word like that, part of overcoming the inertia required to get into physical activity is recognizing there are a lot of easier things I could do, but none of them are what I want to do. What I want to do more is invest in my physical health.
I like what you said there, overcoming the inertia. Whether you meant to phrase it that way or not, it is. I think it's particularly apt in this case because once you do get over that inertia and you set the wheels in motion, physical activity actually becomes so much easier.
Well, it becomes to some degree self-fulfilling.
Yeah. Not just that, but you start to reap the benefits of it. Your body starts to feel good and you start to actually crave it to a certain degree.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what I mean by the inertia. Like it's, you know, it's hard to move a non-moving object, but once you do, it's so much easier. It's so much easier. It's
I think
that
you're
initial
referring to the coefficient of friction, I believe.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. You remember grade 11 physics?
Hardly, no.
You're right. And that idea comes up often in physical activity is you have to make a front-end investment.
Yeah.
But that gets easier. But then again, most people fall out of physical activity at some point as well.
It's true, but I think it's just that most people fall out of the routine and then getting back into the routine is the hard part. Because once again, it's that I'd rather be doing something else.
You know, actually, this was when we did our HIIT, our high intensity interval training episode a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, I was pretty happy with. One of the things that came out of it was the idea. Because, you know, that's the most intense thing you can do. And so why don't more people do it? And one of the conclusions was, after a long day of work, I don't want to come home and work out until I barf.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an extreme definition. But the concept is exactly the same. After I come home from a long day of work, I don't really want to do more work.
No, I don't want to get home from 8 hours of work and then run for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Now, maybe you do. Some people are listening like, yeah, actually, that's exactly what I want after work. And that's cool. You've learned how to...
But that's not most people, and that's not what we're talking about today.
No, you're right. And what we're trying to talk about today is how to make physical activity an actual part of your real life as you live it week to week, month to month.
Okay, so what does that mean? Make it part of your, like, do you have to exercise every day, Chris? What's enough? Is there a minimum?
Yeah, there's definitely a minimum.
What's the minimum?
I think it's way, I've said this several times on air before, I think it's way higher than most of us set it.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going the other way, but go ahead.
Yeah, no way. I am quite.
Okay, what is it? Give us a number.
Well, the minimum will vary a little bit based on age, et cetera. It'll also vary based on your baseline at starting. Mm-hmm. But here's how I like to say it. It's at least 3 times a week. You need to push yourself to sweating and breathing hard for at least 10 minutes.
Oh, what if you're doing high-intensity interval training?
That counts, for sure.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be 10 minutes then.
Probably it's not going to be less than 10 minutes.
It could be.
It could be a little bit, but, you know, that's pretty extreme. Hmm. I think if we were to take real people in their real lives, you need to breathe hard and sweat for 10 minutes 3 times a week. And I don't think that's a crazy amount of exercise.
No, I thought you were going to give me a much higher number than that.
I'm going to in a minute. Oh. I'm going to right now.
Okay.
I think that is effectively the minimum that is required.
All right.
Can I
just jump in and say I would double that.
Yep.
I would say the minimum should be 20 minutes 3 times a week.
Well, we already know that, right? Like that's your standard exercise prescription.
So why would you say 10 minutes is your minimum?
Because I want to make it real for people who don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure
that
that's going to give any real significant benefits.
I think it will. Now, here's the difference, though. This is where
I'm
almost talking about high-intensity interval training in that if you breathe hard and get your heart rate up and you sweat for 10 minutes, that is exercise.
Sure.
Here's where I contrast it. Walking your dog, I'm sorry, is not exercise.
It can be.
It burns some calories,
of course,
but
it can
will not improve your fitness.
No, that's ridiculous. It all depends on the the way you're walking. If you're doing a brisk walk, if you're going to walk for 20 minutes briskly backwards, you're going to get a good exercise, yes. Chris, and your heart rate's going to be up and you're going to be breathing hard. You could certainly walk briskly enough to raise your heart rate and get your breathing up. Of course you can. Most people take a nice leisurely walk and let their dog stop at every lamppost and every hydrant and every other dog. Okay, let's stop and say hello and sniff each other's butts for 30 seconds. That's not what we're talking about.
And that's I'm talking about.
If you walk with a purpose, you can, and you can make it exercise.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And often when I talk about people about how to make exercise part of their real life, if they have a dog, I would say, great, walk your dog same distance, now do it faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's our first life hack of the day. Take your regular walking or your regular physical activity and now just do it as fast as you can.
Not as fast as you can, necessarily.
I think so. I do think so.
Enough to get your heart rate up and to the point where it's... A measure that I like to use is to the point where it's no longer comfortable to have a conversation with somebody.
Yep, you're right. That's often what we say. I think... And, you know, I'm going to do some I think statements today. I think it has to be more than that. I think we're actually, what we've done is we've taken the lowest common denominator of physical activity and we've made that the basic prescription because even that is unattainable for most people.
Yeah.
So we're trying to set a low bar. But here's what
I don't know that's unattainable. It's unattained by most people.
Okay, no, you're right. No, good. That's a good correction. I'll give you that one.
Good.
Here's what I'll suggest then instead is we've set that as our goal, but if you want to maintain or improve fitness, it takes a lot more than that.
Yeah, not sure about that.
No?
I'm not sure about that because I think if you're to the point where you're breathing hard, where your heart rate is up, you are challenging your body and that's going to be enough to continue to improve. Now, that level of activity, if you maintain the same level of activity and the same amount of effort, that's not going to be enough to continually improving because eventually your body's going to adapt. But you're going to find that, you know, 2 months from now, that same level won't be enough to make it difficult to breathe and talk and those things. So you're going to have to continue to push yourself. And that should be enough to keep improving. That's modest, but that's enough for most people.
No, you're right. And certainly if you continue to push yourself and improve, you are improving your fitness.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty clear.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's where I'm going to take it a step further.
I'm a lot more moderate on this topic, I'm realizing, than you are, Chris.
I'm not moderate on this topic.
You're not?
No.
No. Okay.
I have significant...
This is good. I like when we take opposing views. Yeah. I'm going to be like the relaxed, moderate guy, and you're going to be taking the hard line, which I don't think that's our typical roles.
No, it's
you're
not.
You're usually the laid back, relaxed, whatever, man.
And you know, I've changed my... It's funny that you still think that. It's my long hair, isn't it?
That's what it is.
I used to take a softer line on this. In fact, I think there was a time maybe 7 or 8 years ago when I said, you know what, I actually think what you eat is more important than exercise. Mm-hmm. And I still maintain that what you eat is very important, but this is the conclusion I've drawn in the last several years. Even what you're describing, 20 minutes, let's make it 20 minutes of brisk activity. Even if you continue to progress, but your numbers still stay the same, you're doing 20 minutes, 3 times a week, that's 60 minutes of activity
a week. And for the record, I am absolutely satisfied with that. If all of my patients were doing that, I think they would all be in much better shape than they are right now.
I agree that is true. But this gets us back to what you said a moment ago, attained versus attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I think for most people under 70 years old, that is nowhere near enough to optimize health.
Well, I mean, now you're you know, playing with words, optimize health.
Yeah, I'm pretty direct in that.
Okay.
I mean, if we're talking about, I mean, this is what we do. This is our job. This is what NDs do. We optimize health.
All right.
We help people optimize their health. And this is where I'm taking a tough stance. Now, I'm taking a tougher stance now as we speak than I, of course, do when I speak with a real person.
All right.
You're mostly a robot.
Me? I wish.
You wish.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, to phase out all human emotion.
And also exercise. Robots don't need to.
I guess that's true.
See what I'm getting at there?
Yeah.
That's hashtag life hack. Exercise hack right there.
Become a robot.
Become a robot and remove the cardiovascular system.
It's probably detrimental for robots to exercise because that's just wear and tear.
It's true. You need extra oil.
It's funny because that's always what we imagine, like that old like squirt oil gun.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, squirt, squirt. Oh, there you're all fixed up. Good to go now, buddy.
That's right.
Go get him, Tin Man.
Where were we, Chris?
We were talking about this, and this is something I have said on air before. The happiest 50, 65, 70-year-olds that I know are the ones that have kept physical activity a significant part. Not the minimum required to not develop cardiovascular disease,
sure,
but the optimal required to age and live well.
Yeah, and you're probably right, and I will admit that I have seen that in my practice too. The people who are doing the best are those who go well beyond what I'm describing as the acceptable minimum. You know, people who are doing 5 hours a week of pretty high intensity exercise, you know, 2 hour sessions of tennis or jogging or whatever it happens to be. Yeah. Okay.
5 hours might be more than someone needs,
but I'm just telling you what my experience is. That's what I'm seeing. Those are the people who are doing the best.
I agree. And the reason I've started speaking more strongly about this is for exactly that reason. Because it's become so clear.
Yeah, okay.
By age 50, like the people that are healthiest and happiest are the ones that are getting significantly higher amounts of physical activity than this minimum 20 minutes three times a week, which you are right, for a lot of people is still unattainable.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, Chris. And because I share that experience too. I mean, that's... At some point, you just got to trust your eyes and say, this is what I see again and again. This is the way I believe it is.
And I want to, again, soften my delivery of this to people for whom that is not their reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of who I am to shake a finger or to judge or certainly to condescend.
No, you can leave that to me, Chris.
That's right. That's your job. I refer people to you for that. Like if you need some more judgment, go see Dr. Frasuna.
Dr. Judgy.
Yeah, go see Dr. Judge.
I'm the bacon doctor. He's the judgment doctor.
That's right. And so I do work with people to help them work towards achieving these things. But I mean, it just seems to be this is what we see. And it's... I've seen it so consistently that I do now take a harder line with young people, 26-year-olds, like 20. Yeah, I almost said it. 26-year-olds who are clearly not in very great physical shape.
Sure,
I will say, especially ones that used to be in okay physical shape. I'll say, look, you know what? If you can make this part of your life, I think it's really important that you do this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, lay the groundwork right now. It'll make it a lot easier when you are in your 50s or 60s. And that's why you're doing it, right? You're not doing it to a small part you are, but really what you're doing it for is to maintain health decades from now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a tough sell, right? To see the payoff several decades in the future, that's a hard thing to sell to a person in their 20s.
Well, I mean, we know this. It's uncomfortable, but we know. Like, people who are able to delay gratification are the ones that tend to do best in life pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
People who are able to recognize the value of long-term investment are the ones that make those investments and then actually reap the return on that investment.
And that's the right word. I mean, exercising is an investment in your future health and well-being.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That's just the way it is. Okay?
And I'm going to actually say this. That was, for me, because I did have a point where I was working really hard, building a career, doing these things. I was not exercising a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized... me as my product. I mean, that's a pretty crass way to say it. I had to invest in my product if I wanted it to keep going, and therefore I had to get back into physical activity.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point you have to, right? And we all have this idea, I'll start later, right? I'll get back to the gym next year. After New Year's or after my birthday or once the kids are out of whatever it happens to be, right? There's always an excuse. And it's always later. And eventually then you are in your 60s and there's no later and it's time.
And you've got cardiovascular disease.
Well, there you go.
And you've got diabetes. And it's sort of like, yep, preventable, but you have to invest in a thing that you don't currently have to invest in.
Yeah. And look, I also want to say this too. It's never too late to start.
No,
if
it's
you
not.
Are in your 60s and you do have cardiovascular disease or diabetes or anything else. I mean, it's certainly never too late to start, and you will see improvements if you do start today.
Oh, I had the great fortune. I mean, this is sort of like our ND's dream. I was working with someone today and I said, you know what? You are healthier today than you were when I met you 2 years ago.
I love saying that.
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, this person was like, that's wonderful. You know, big smile. But this person knew that was true.
It is. And it's good to remind people of that sometimes. Oh, yeah. Because totally. Sometimes it's not easy to see the small changes. Like you and I, we get to see the incremental changes, yeah. right? I might see you 6 times a year, and every 2 months when you come in, there's a big change from the yeah. last time. But you're on a daily basis, you may be not really seeing those small changes. And it's not really till you take inventory and look back to where you started to see how far you've actually come.
Okay. So, Mike, let's get to this question that we really want answered. I think we've definitely belabored that we think exercise is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an easier way for me to do this?
I'll tell you what, Chris. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out. And we're back.
I was a little weak.
Well.
And we're back.
Thank you, Chris, for showing me how it's done.
Well, I mean, that's how, like, a mentor approaches things, you know, shows, models the good behavior.
Hey, mentor, guess what I did on the break?
Oh, I can only imagine.
I checked out Instagram and confirmed that, in fact, you can hashtag stuff on Instagram.
That's great. But you know what? It still doesn't make you cool because you didn't know that.
No, and I had to look it up on the break.
Yeah, you didn't look it up on your Instagram account because you don't have an
Instagram
account.
I don't have an Instagram account.
You looked it up like, oh, can you hashtag on Instagram?
I got to be honest, I don't really get Instagram.
You don't get it? I get Instagram.
I don't get it. I don't get why it's different from other social media. It just seems like a watered-down version of
really,
other
do you, stuff. Really? Do you need me to walk you through this right now?
No.
I'll tell you
walk
what,
me through
I'll
later.
Tell you what, listeners, send Mike an email and start them all
don't,
by saying, like,
don't
dear,
shame me.
Dear Dr. Lame.
I'm fully aware that I am lame and old.
Here's
I get
how you get
it.
Into
get
the 21st century.
Whatever.
And you know what? Send him pictures.
Just knock it off.
Okay, Mike.
We now, get it.
We're going to talk. No, this is still quite millennial because we're talking about ways to hack exercise.
Okay.
Two of the best, though, question mark best, have been around since the 80s when they Whoa. Were really into hacking exercise.
Were they?
Oh, the 80s loved fitness.
I guess so.
And
I
they
guess
loved,
so.
Like, they loved, you know, if you wore neon, that was exercise. Like, you were exercising even if you just wore it around.
Yeah, people were always wearing, you know,
sweatbands
and.
And that actually
just
is
in case
true.
Exercise broke out. You never know.
And you know, that is actually true of the 80s. That is not. Mike and I are probably just old enough that I remember at least the late 80s, and people really did wear a lot of neon and exercise gear.
Oh, totally.
Like, that
I
was
owned
true.
Quite a bit of neon
yeah,
and had sweatbands.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course I did.
Of course you did. You and all like the old moms.
Hey man, you're running you're like 10 years old and you're running cross country. You better have your sweatbands on.
That's true. I bet you had wristbands too, didn't you?
Wristbands and the headband, sure.
Yeah, you would. Okay. Mike, let's talk about some of those hacks.
Okay, so where do we start with some of these? We're going to talk about, how about some machines? Because machines and technology are fun. I mean, some of them are kind of ridiculous.
Indeed.
And some of them are a little less ridiculous, but probably no better.
I would agree with you.
Okay, so let's start with the more ridiculous or less ridiculous. Your choice.
Oh, let's start with more ridiculous.
More ridiculous. Okay, let's start with the vibration machines, shall we? These have been around for ages.
Yeah, pretty
truly.
Much since vibration was invented.
Since vibration. I mean, you can probably think back to videos that you've seen about like the 1930s and people in their, you know, one-piece exercise
things.
They were
always wearing those singlets.
They were, you know, throwing medicine balls around with their big mustaches. And then after the exercise, they would jump on this belt machine that would just vibrate their rear ends to presumably melt away the fat around
well,
the waist.
It shakes it off.
I guess so, right? I mean, the idea is, I don't know, increase the metabolic activity in that area and therefore decreases fat. So what do you think, Chris? Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I have used one of those before. And I
no,
say,
seriously? Right?
Yeah, I did. No, when I was living in Korea, the gym that I went to, it had one of those. You put the band around your back and then you turned it on and it just vibrated. Put it around your back. Usually you did. You're right. You put it around the glutes.
Yep.
I don't know that they really believed it was a weight loss device, but I think it was more of like they really like massage over there. They had a whole host of machines that were supposed to massage. They had a great one, actually. It was like rollers for your calves. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that one was a weight loss or metabolism stimulator, but the standing on the vibration machine.
Right. So I guess I was introducing those as a way of talking about where we are now, yeah. Presently. Mean,
they've revolutionized it.
Well, they've made it a lot more, I don't want to say efficient, but more whole body.
Yeah.
Vibration machines, right? Yeah. So basically, it's this vibrating platform now.
Yeah.
And there's various iterations of this, but you stand on a vibrating platform and it sort of vibrates your entire body.
Yeah. Did I tell you that I built a vibrating platform recently?
No.
I did.
Why?
I wanted something that would...
I feel like I say that a lot to you. Why did you do that, Chris?
I wanted something that could shake multiple things at the same time.
Okay.
And so I got a hold of like a concrete vibrator.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right? And so I built a platform that would vibrate, and I put like little things on it so that they could all shake at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It worked pretty well.
It's good. It's good.
You want to try it out, see if you lose some weight?
Yeah. Well, no. Hold on. Let's look at the research first. And does it actually work, Chris?
Well, I think you are looking at the same statistics I am right now. And the conclusion is... A little bit.
Yeah, kind of. But not really.
But not really. Yeah, no. So I looked this up and it was pretty easy. And this seemed actually to be pretty consistent. The research did suggest, yes, these machines do better than if you are standing still.
Yeah.
They will burn more calories than that. They are about the same as a light walk.
Okay.
And so 10 minutes on one of these machines will burn about 50 calories. Yeah, but I wanted to put that into context. So, like, what's 50 calories? What does that mean? Your average banana has about 90 calories.
So half a banana.
Yeah, you could have half a banana, or 20 minutes on the vibrator will burn off that banana.
Okay, so the verdict, slightly better than nothing?
That's it. You've said it. I like that.
Yeah.
Slightly better than nothing.
Right.
Now, this I will say I came across in a lot of... I did spend a fair bit of time in the fitness forums for some of these things, mm-hmm, as you know, mm-hmm. I like to do.
Yep.
And that'll come back when we talk about the next machine.
Right.
But this is one thing that they did say. Do your exercises on a vibrating machine and a vibrating platform usually.
Yep.
And that actually did seem to boost some muscle building as well.
Well, that actually makes a little bit of sense.
It did check out a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you would think that you would have to... engage certain muscles in order to maintain balance and whatnot, just even just a little bit more.
Yep.
And every little bit helps to engage even the smaller muscle groups while you're doing. And that's kind of the goal, the dream of a lot of exercise regimens is to involve some of those smaller opposing muscles in addition to the big guns that
absolutely,
do most
yeah.
of the work, right?
Yeah.
So if you can do that by just here, stand on this thing, hey, that's great.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
so
we
I
used
get
to do,
that.
I used to do squats on fitness balls, like, you know, those big
oh, yeah.
fitness balls.
Mm-hmm.
And that, let me tell you, like, that is a tough exercise.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to use a lot more exercise or a lot more muscles than just if you were doing a squat on flat ground.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It was great. I really enjoyed that. I don't know if I can still do it. I probably haven't done it in about 2 or 3
probably
years.
Probably start with a vibrating platform and then move up to an exercise ball.
Yep. I'll think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they probably have a place in fitness training.
They probably do, but I don't think that's how most people are using it or hoping that they can be used. They hope you can just stand on it and watch your Netflix and burn away the calories. Not really, you know.
Not really, yeah, not really. Maybe a little bit, but if you have a banana.
Nothing significant.
No.
So
is it an acceptable life hack for losing weight or getting fit? Conclusion is?
On its own, no.
No.
But you might be able to incorporate it into an exercise regimen to make it more efficient. I've also seen some stuff on it improving blood flow as well.
Sure.
To certain areas, especially people who have issues with, you know, swelling in the feet and legs and, you know, things like
that.
So,
sure,
yeah, I think there is some legitimacy to it, but no, it's not going to vibrate away the pounds.
Okay, Mike, next machine. Next machine, more common, maybe a little... better suggestion for its use.
Sure.
We're talking about some electrostim machines.
Electrostim. So this is a muscle, electric muscle stimulation.
Yeah, this is basically contracting muscles.
Exactly. We send a current into your muscles, and it's going to cause those muscles to contract.
Correct.
Which we have known for several hundred years, when you stimulate a muscle with electricity, it will contract. Normally, our muscles contract when our nervous system tells them to contract. When you tell your arm to bend at the elbow or whatever, your muscles contract. This is a way of outsourcing that electricity to another machine, which tells our muscles to contract. But of course, anytime your muscle is contracting, it's also using energy to make that contraction happen.
Yes.
And of course, as your muscles contract, they're doing work. And as your muscles realize that they're doing work, they have to work harder. They have to grow in response to that stress.
Yep.
So that's the idea there, is that without actually doing the work, just hooking up the machine, you can induce these muscles to do the work, burn the calories, and grow in size.
You're right. All of that logic checks out. And it's probably why millions of these machines have been sold.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
I've seen them on TV.
Oh, of course. We've all seen them on TV.
Yeah.
I've used them. Now, where we do see them, where they have probably their most legitimate benefit, is in some physio.
Oh, definitely. They have therapeutic value. That's for sure.
And, you know, so the question is, well, if they can help in therapeutic benefit for muscles that, you know, aren't being stimulated because it's post-surgery or nerves aren't there,
right,
will they have benefit for getting me super cut? Was it Bruce Lee? Is that right?
He's a guy.
He's a
guy. Where are you going with this?
I feel like...
Like, are you saying he used these to get super cut?
I'm pretty sure he did use these.
I'm pretty sure he used thousands of hours of practicing kung fu to get super cut.
But I'm pretty sure he used these in between that, just to keep his muscles at maximum twitch response.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that if I'm wrong.
Maybe, I don't know. That's the first I've heard of it, but I don't know a ton about Bruce Lee.
No, neither do I.
So maybe, I don't know. Somebody write in
and
tell us.
But I feel like someone like him popularized these machines, and then they really entered... Kind of like Enter the Dragon.
I see where you did.
Entered the fitness scene.
Right.
But,
right,
Mike, do they work?
Well, yeah, kind of. They do. They definitely stimulate muscle, and they can help you to maintain muscle tone. Meaning that you're not going to get any better than what you are by using one of these machines. You're not going to become more cut. You're not going to become more muscular just by strapping a machine on, but you actually can prevent any of that muscle from actually getting lost due to atrophy. So if you're not going to be exercising, you can use one of these machines and you won't lose muscle.
To at least help slow the loss, if not maybe even prevent
Stop it altogether.
Yeah. So maybe...
That's kind of cool. I mean, I know they use these on, the astronauts out in space to help them maintain muscle mass. And hey, if it's good enough for the astronauts,
and it's good enough for you.
For me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just like, food in pill form and such.
That's my preference.
That's right.
I found this really interesting. So I went again onto the forums, and I went into some like real gym rat forums.
Oh, yeah.
And I will even say this, like, I've spent a fair bit of time in gyms when I was younger. But this was kind of unique to me. From what I saw, uniformly, the people in the forums said, these machines don't do anything. Don't waste your time on this.
Okay, but what are they using them for? When you're talking about the gym rat forums, you're talking about, I'm just going to use the word muscle heads, right?
So much better than gym rat.
Yeah, but really, they're trying to get buff. They're trying to bulk up. They're trying to, right? And that's not what these things do. So for those purposes, of course, they don't. They don't do those things.
Well,
but if you decide to, let's say, take 2 weeks off, you are pretty big. You've put on a lot of muscle mass.
Me personally, you mean?
You, yes.
Yeah.
If, let's say, you worked out quite a bit, you got a lot of bulk put on, and you wanted to maintain that, but you also were taking 3 weeks off from the gym. If you're using one of these to maintain that,
probably helps a little.
There you go.
Yeah.
So not nothing.
Not nothing.
Take that, gym rats.
Someone told me recently I was looking more shredded than usual.
Who said that?
That is true.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so... That was just a gut reaction there, Chris.
Someone did say that, though. I'm sticking with that.
Wow. Okay.
I was happy.
I'm sure you would be.
And I don't even use one of these machines.
No.
No, I don't know what my secret is.
I don't know what to tell you. I've got no follow-up to this. I can't
imagine
what the context was if somebody said this to you. I don't know. Did you just buy one of those new puffer jackets? And they're like, oh, Chris, your arms are looking pretty
puffy and big.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Mike, any other hacks?
Yeah. I want to talk about hacks on just making it a lot more simple to incorporate in a daily routine. Let's take the average person, right? You go to work, you work, I don't know, 9 to 5-ish hours, and then you come home, and so you don't want to exercise before, you don't want to exercise after. So what's left, Chris?
Now you're throwing it over to me.
Yes. Well, what is the logical, if you're not going to exercise before work or after work?
Exercise at lunchtime.
There we go. You can exercise while you're at work. So how can we find a way to incorporate that into our days? Are there things that you can do in the office? Are there things that you can do on your lunch break to get some physical activity into your day?
Yes. There are a couple answers to this. And actually, I do know someone who very recently has very successfully incorporated lunch break exercise into a routine, so much so that she's actually doing it every single day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. She's doing it every single day on her lunch break. And here's what works for this person. She is taking classes.
Okay.
And I do think this. So this is, if you ask me, Chris, what are your favorite ways? What do you think, not favorite, what do you think are the most effective ways for people to make exercise part of their regular routine? Taking classes is my number two.
Okay. Why do you think that's so effective, Chris?
Well, part of the same reason that I'm going to come back to with number one, because it adds a social component.
Yep.
It adds an accountability.
Accountability. Yeah. Yeah. That's the big one, I think.
And you're like, yeah, this is what I do on my lunch breaks now.
Exactly. Right. You make it part of your lifestyle. And probably too, a lot of classes, there's this financial incentive as well. If you've signed up for eight classes and you threw down a couple $100, I'm going to go because I paid for it.
Yeah, and we know that works.
I
have this conversation often, and I'll say, like, yes, sign up for a class and pay for it, and then you are more likely to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe that's not true motivation on your part, right? But like you said, it's just the getting over that initial inertia. And then once you're in the, you'll keep going, right? And you'll also make friends in your class, and they'll keep you going. And so, you know, that will keep the momentum going once you've maintained it.
Yep. And I think that's really important. The other thing I've seen that's similar that works quite well is do a class immediately after work. Before you go home.
Before you go home and start to relax. Yep. Sure.
Take a snack bar, and at 4:30, you eat your snack bar. At 5 o'clock, you go to the 5:30 class, and you just do it before you go
home.
Yeah,
and it just becomes part of your day, right? So it's not, you don't get home at 5:15 anymore. Now you get home at 6:30.
Yep.
And that's just the way it's going to be. And you know what? A lot of people, it does work that way. And once you get used to doing it, it doesn't become, it doesn't seem so daunting and so difficult to actually do.
Yeah. And what I hear are the, and you know, this is how it works. I hear the opposing voices saying, like, well, that's all fine for you guys to say on the air, but I've got to get home because my partner's been home with the kids all day. Or I only get 30 minutes for lunch and I have to eat lunch. So, you know, what's your solution there, smart guys?
Do you have any solutions for that, Chris?
I do.
Okay. So, I mean, there's things that you can do at your desk, obviously. You don't have to get up and walk around and do things like that. You can do things at your desk. You can do things at home while you're watching TV, right? I mean, there's a very quick, at home, no equipment needed, 10-15 minute workouts you can do that involve things like squats and
burpees,
mountain climbers, push-ups, those types of things. And they're easy and they're quick, and you can do it while you're watching TV at home. Yeah. You can do it in your office at work if you have an office.
Those are all fine, but that's not what I was thinking.
Okay.
And
what were you thinking, Chris?
Truthfully, I don't think those things really work for most people.
I disagree.
Okay, good. That actually gives me hope.
Yeah, I've got a number of patients who are actively doing this and
seeing
results.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, it works for you. I mean, it's just about what works for you. You find out what your patterns are and what your lifestyle is. And look, I mean, in the area that I see patients, it's a lot of suburbia. It is a lot of people with, you know, a couple kids and working a 9-to-5 job that they probably commute a half hour to and from every day. So it's not feasible for them a lot of the time to do the class before or after, although for some of them it is.
Yeah.
But it's much more convenient for a lot of them anyways, just to incorporate it at home.
Ah, you just said the most dangerous word in all of this.
Oh, what's the most dangerous word?
Convenient.
Convenience.
Convenience is the entry word. It's the gateway drug into the slippery slope of non-physical activity.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, here's what I'm going to say to what you, this is where I'm going to get tough again for a second, because what you were saying is like, yeah, here's some other lesser versions of that. And, you know, here's what you do. You make it realistic. And I believe all of that. But here's the other thing I think that's important. You need to rewrite your narrative around physical activity, and you need to plan it as part of your week as a non-negotiable thing you do.
Yep. Yeah. It has to be routine.
Yeah. I was expecting more pushback from
that. No. I completely agree. I think for anything to become regular, to become habit, it's got to be a non-negotiable. It's not something that you would like to do. Yeah. It's something that you do. You just make up your mind and you say, this is something that I do now. It's part of me. It's part of my routine.
Yeah.
It's the same for diet. It's the same for anything we talk about.
And you're right. I mean, you know, again, you know, getting a little bit tough here, but and actually, I like what I just said. In terms of rewriting your narrative, of saying like, you know what, this came up a long time ago, one of our other episodes, the idea of deciding I am this kind of person or I am not.
That's kind of exactly what I was trying to say. Yes. Yes. And I am the type of person who exercises 3 times a week. That's it.
Or 2 times a week, but like one time a week, but set it and do it.
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm glad we agree on that.
We do agree on that. I'm a little... I thought we were going to be a little more on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to go tough there with me.
Well, I guess my version of tough is a little tougher than yours, I suppose. So when you said tough, I didn't think you meant soft.
No, I guess because the word I didn't name, neither of us named in there, was also the word discipline. We haven't said that yet.
Well, I mean, discipline sort of goes around hand in hand with habit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when it's part of your routine... discipline is almost implied, right?
Well, I'm gonna split a little bit here. Yes, often to make these things part of your routine, discipline is required.
At
least in the beginning, exactly. I am going to go to the gym on Thursdays after work every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's discipline. And even knowing I'm not going to feel like it, I am still going to go. That's discipline.
Right. And that's it right there. At the beginning, you probably aren't going to feel
like it, but
after a couple of weeks, you will feel like it. And it doesn't really take the same amount of discipline to do something that you have been doing. It's part of your routine and you enjoy doing.
And this is where I really like classes, because they do get more fun as you do them, because you know people in the classes, you get to know the instructor, you get better at doing what the instructor does as well. So it gets easier. There's no more of that awkwardness, not knowing what you're going to do. Here's where I'm going to take it further, and you've certainly heard me mention this before. I really like, for those that it's still possible, I really like sports, rec league sports.
Yeah.
Even more fun. No discipline is required when you really enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely do not have to force myself.
The initial discipline is still there, though.
It is, yeah. You have to join a team, and you have to go, and especially if you're not that good at that sport yet.
Right.
There's all that. But... after a certain point, I've never reached this point through taking classes. After a certain point, rec league sports are really fun.
You've never reached that point in the taking a class?
No, I haven't. No, not. But this is where there's some individual bias here. I really love sports.
Yeah, you do. You do. Okay.
I do. Like, I love running.
And it's totally fine. I 100% understand where you're coming from, and you really enjoy playing a team sport. It is tons of fun, and you're looking forward to that day of the week all week, right?
I do. I look forward to it all week. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. So
yeah,
I can get behind that. But I think a class can very much be the same way as well. I'll be honest with you. I also have not experienced that on any classes, but I know people who do experience that and love and would never dream of missing their spin class every week.
Yep, and so, that's the same thing.
Yep.
And that's exactly the same idea. And the idea is the more fun it is, the less discipline is required. And the less discipline is required, the more likely you are to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take any discipline to sit on the couch and watch TV.
No, it doesn't.
And so the more like something that looks like physical activity doesn't require any discipline, the more likely you simply are to succeed.
There you go.
All right, well, what else you got, Mike?
I think that pretty much is all I have to say on the topic.
Yeah, I like it as well. I mean, we ranged fairly far afield tonight in our discussion of physical activity, but I think it was pretty practical.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to just go ahead and jump into the summarizing part. I think we did two things well.
If we do say so ourselves.
No, I mean, maybe it's just because we were on the heels of doing a book review from our last episode. There was some more criticism, et cetera. But these are the two highlights I take from our conversation today. One, we really did stress the importance of physical activity that is probably beyond what you currently think is the optimal level. And I feel as though we got a little tough there, but I like it.
Yep.
And two, we said, look, if you want to make this part of your real life, you've got to rewrite your narrative, you've got to set some discipline, and ideally, you want to make it something fun that you can continue to do.
Yep. I completely agree with you, Chris, and I do agree that, yes, we maybe got a little bit tough today, but that's just the way it's got to be with any habit breaking or habit forming, you know,
yeah.
And you can consider it both ways. You're forming the habit of exercising. You're also breaking the habit of being sedentary. So it follows the same, whether it's changing the way you're exercising, your exercise routine, or what you're eating, changing your diet, or giving up a bad habit like smoking. It's all the same thing. And you can't do it half-heartedly.
It's true.
Right? You can't quit smoking a little bit and expect it, right? That's never going to work. You can't give up a little bit of junk food and expect to. It's the same way, right? You gotta.
Right. Oh, we're talking about behavior change. That's what we're talking about.
100%. So, yes, we are a little strict with that, but I think that's the way it has to be, at least at the beginning, until it becomes part of your routine, part of your character, and then, you know, it's just about what you want to do at that point.
Okay. Wonderful. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Health Happens podcast. You can follow us in all those places that Mike usually mentions.
Twitter.
Twitter. Give us a hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah.
And give us a rating at something that you do. We like that as well.
Oh, yeah. Do that on Apple Podcasts is what it's actually called. It's not called iTunes anymore. Did you know that,
really?
Chris?
I did not know that.
Yeah, we're so unhip. It's called Apple Podcasts.
All right, great. Let's take it home. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Always a pleasure.